We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Today I want to talk to you about the second psalm. Now, before I read this, I want you to listen closely. I believe if you can get the idea I want to impart to you, it'll help you in the understanding of the Bible. Now, I was reared in a Christian home. I was saved when I was 11 years old. I was preaching before I was 15. I went to college and studied the Bible in college. But nobody ever told me what I'm going to tell you this morning. I never heard anybody say anything about it. First man ever told me about this thing, I thought he was crazy. But I found out as I went into the thing that the great Bible scholars like Dr. Campbell Morgan of London, who was the greatest expository preacher I ever heard, believed what this man told me. I found that C.I. Schofield, editor of the Schofield Bible, by the way, the finest notes that have ever been put on any pages of the Bible, to help you understand, I think, the notes in the Schofield Bible. Of course, a good many people pick that Bible to pieces, but those are wonderful notes. Dr. Schofield was a lawyer, a very judicial mind, and a great scholar and a great Christian. His notes are wonderful. So I learned more about the Bible, actually about the Bible as a whole, in 6 weeks after I came to this idea that I got to this man, just a plain, ordinary country fellow. I got more out of the Bible and a better understanding of the Bible as a whole after I talked to him and after I began to investigate it. In 6 weeks, I got more than I'd ever got my whole life before that time. Now, I knew enough to be saved. I knew enough how to tell other people how to be saved. I knew enough to know there's a hereafter and a heaven and a hell. But there were so many things that I never knew. And when I'd ask about it, people would say, well, that means so-and-so, that's figurative. Now, let's notice closely. You go through the Old Testament, you see two pictures of Jesus Christ. Here's one of them. The prophet said he should be born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin. That's literally fulfilled. A prophet said he should be betrayed by a friend. He was betrayed by a friend. That was literally fulfilled. A prophet said he should be sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. That was literally fulfilled. The prophet said a potter's field should be bought with the price of his blood. A potter's field was bought with the price of his blood. That was literally fulfilled. Now, you can count about 150 prophecies, some people say over 300, that have been literally fulfilled about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, set over against those prophecies, you have other prophecies, dramatic prophecies, powerful prophecies, prophecies that are spectacular, if I may use that word. Now, how do you explain those two things? You find him coming, he's meek and lowly, sitting on an ass, in the fold of an ass, riding into town on a donkey. Then you see him coming as a king. How do you explain it? Well, both of those things are to be fulfilled. One's already been fulfilled. He did come. Literally came to this earth. He literally was born of a virgin. He literally died on a cross. He literally was raised from the dead. He literally did ride into Jerusalem, as the prophet said. All of those things have been literally fulfilled. But, you know, he went back to heaven. Now, he's coming back someday. Just as certain as he was here, just as certain as he went away, just that certain he's coming back. Now, when he comes back again, it'll be just as literal as his first coming. Let me say something to you that I think I've said before. When Jesus Christ went to heaven, he went to heaven in the same body that was put in a tomb. He had no blood in that body. He shed his blood on the cross to save sinners. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and Jesus gave that blood on the cross to save poor sinners. So he died for us. He died in our place. He died on our account. He bore our sin in his body on the cross. He shed his blood for us. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament, all the blood that was shed, all of this pointed with a finger to Calvary, where Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was God's Lamb to take away the sin of the world. All the lambs that were slain on the altar of the Old Testament were lambs that men used and put on that altar and used their blood. And God passed over sins because that blood typified the blood which his son was shed on the cross. Now his son came and died. He was God's Lamb. Died on Calvary. All right, he was buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He went back to heaven. Now he's up in heaven today, just as literal as he was when he was on this earth. Has no blood in his body. He's up there in heaven, exactly the same feet and hands that he had when he's up upper room. And he told Thomas to touch him, and he said he wasn't a ghost. He said a spirit has not flesh and bones. He didn't say blood, but flesh and bones, as you see I have. Now, he went to heaven in that body. Now, you haven't any ghost Christ. Jesus Christ is a literal, blessed, wonderful man up in heaven. God's man, sitting in the Father's right hand. Sitting down today in the Father's right hand, he has the same form he had when he went back to heaven. He had that same form that could go through closed doors and could climb an invisible stairway back to the sky. Men could look at him. Now, he's up there in that form. Now, you have a literal Christ. Now, these prophecies, we read about many of them, have to do with his second coming. Now, the psalm I'm going to read now has to do with his second coming. First time he is lowly, meek, came as a little baby, came to be despised and rejected of man, came to have men spit in his face and pull out his beard, came to die that ignominious death on the cross and lay down his life for us. But watch him now when he comes back again. And you'll find all through the Psalms, all through the Old Testament, prophecies of his second coming. Now notice the verse. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Great excitement in the world. Heathens are raging. Heathens in the Bible mean all those outside of Christ. See, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers will take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. And the world's taking counsel against him. Said, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Now, there he is now sitting in heaven, God the Father. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now, where is Zion? Jerusalem. Holy hill. Where the throne of David was. Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's the Bible. Jesus is an heir of that throne. Jesus Christ is an heir to the throne of David. That throne is going to be set up again. Literally set up. A literal throne on which will reign a literal king. And that literal king is the Son of God. God's anointed Son. Now, men and women, that's ahead of us. That's the only hope of this world. There's no hope anywhere else. You talk to me about men saving the world. But everything in this world is temporary. Man isn't big enough to handle it. He can fix it temporarily, tied over for the fateful days ahead of it, but he can't fix it. All right? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. How are you going to make that figurative? He wasn't any king when he came the first time in the eyes of the world. He was God's king, but he was not man's king. He came on his own received and all. He was despised, rejected of man. And instead of having a throne on the hill, he had a cross on the hill. On Golgotha, where he hung in agony and blood and died while men mocked him. But now he's on a hill. I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, my king. I'll declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. Talk to his son. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the other was part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. He's talking to the rulers of the earth. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now, this next expression, one time a religious liberal laughed at me about it. Said, you think you want somebody to go up and kiss his son? Listen, kiss the son lest he be angry. Now, wait a minute. Might have a reference to an oriental salutation. Might have a reference to a salutation that we have. All hail the king. Might mean all that. But anyhow, you're going to fall down and worship him. Everybody in the world is going to acknowledge you. You're going to bow your head. You can do it now and trust him and be with him reigning when he reigns, or you can reject him and fall down and hail him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords while you go to hell. But he's coming to reign. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry when ye perish on the way, when the wrath is kindled for a little while. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Men and women, listen, you better trust him. This old, trembling, sin-cursed world is on its way to doom and judgment. You better trust him. You better trust him. All the Christian people of this world today are people with citizenship in heaven. They're passing through this world. Our home is up yonder. We're on our journey there. We're going through it. But someday, if you and I walk with him and will to suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. He's coming back to reign on this earth. And if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. If you reject him, he'll reject you. If you confess him, he'll confess you. If you deny him, he'll deny you. If you crown him, he'll crown you. the day of justice and reckoning. The day of mercy is going to end sometime, as far as you and I are concerned. Now, you better get right with it. I'm telling you, you better quit playing with eternity. You better quit playing with the wrath and justice of a merciful God. You better watch your step. The king's coming. That one who hung on a cross is going to sit on a throne on this earth. This is his earth. He's an heir to the throne of David. And Jerusalem will be the capital of the world someday. Now, before that happens, before that day of glory, there's to be a dark period called the tribulation period that precedes it. For instance, if Jesus should come as I'm talking now, I'm saved, you are saved, we'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. There'll be a little period of time left on this earth of darkness and judgment, vials of wrath, cataclysmic curses sweep over the earth. And oh, the dark days ahead of it. The Bible says, unless that time was shortened, no flesh could be saved. But you and I will be up above the clouds with the Lord. And then when he comes back after all the fire of judgment has swept over this earth, he'll sit down on the throne of David and we'll reign with him. He'll be King of kings and Lord of lords. You say, Bob Jones, that sounds strange to me. I never heard anything like that. Well, I'm sorry. I never had either. But I was preaching the gospel before I knew anything about it. But many women I found, the greatest Bible scholars in the world, believe this. I don't know a great outstanding evangelist that I've ever met in my life who didn't believe it. Moody believed it. I never knew Moody personally. Billy Sunday believed it. Chapman believed it. Torrey believed it. Spurgeon believed it. Campbell Morgan believed it. This is no wild fanatical stuff. It's in the Bible. We've been pulled away from it. You better get back to it. Are you saved today? If you're under his blood now, you'll be under his protecting wing when he reigns as king. You'll be under his protecting wing when he comes in judgment. You better get right with it. Our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, who bore our sins in his body on the cross, who died for us, and rose from the dead and went up to heaven, coming back again someday. Help us to be faithful to him. Give us strength for the task and responsibilities. Keep us true to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we never surrender. May we be faithful to him. Let what come may come. Suffering, persecution, opposition, whatever it may be. Help us to be yielded completely, unreservedly, absolutely, and forever to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his love and his grace and his protecting care. We thank thee that in this world now we are precious in the sight of God if we are his children. He watches over us and makes all things work together for our good. May we be so completely surrendered that we'll have the comfort of the assurance that everything does work together for our good. Keep us ever faithful and true. We pray in that ever-precious, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scripture, who rose from the dead, who is coming back someday to receive us and then to be King of kings and Lord of lords. We pray in his name, wonderful name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.